Well, good evening to everyone. Good to see all of you. I do want to at least express my thanks for the elders and having them allow me to come and speak. It's an honor for me, and I do appreciate all of the members here. Most of you know me, and so now you'll learn a little bit more about me as you hear me open my mouth and hopefully speak the Word of God. The subject that we're going to have tonight is dedication to God and family. And I want you to be thinking about this as you look at the book of Ruth, and we think of the book of Ruth as a parallel to our own lives. The book of Ruth will be reflecting whether we make good choices or bad choices in this world. And we all have to make choices. And this book also, it talks about tragedy. It talks about triumph in this book. Yes, it even talks about love and relationships. And there are many reasons why things that we can learn from this particular book. When you think about the book of Ruth, we think of endless value that comes from deciding to follow after God. The benefits of obeying God, they're great. And the book enumerates on that. The importance of cleaving to one another as husband and wife, or cleaving to God with your whole heart. That is so critical, and it's brought out in this book. Gleaning from the riches of God's good grace and being able to build that and establish that relationship with God as Ruth has done. And we'll look at that. How about the great rewards that come from obeying God? The great rewards, the many, many blessings, and God's providence is noted in this book. And sometimes we would realize that God's providence isn't always something that we see up front. It's something that happens maybe to our understanding in the rear of everything else that took place. And so God's providence is revealed in this book. And I guess when we really think about it, we could spend a whole hour just talking about God and how He provides our every single need. And God is good. And we see that in this book, how God would enrich our lives with many, many, many blessings. And so for tonight, though, we're not going to focus on all those things. What we want to do is focus on the idea that there has to be a dedication to God and a dedication to family. So we want to look at 3 points tonight. The 3 points are dedication to God, dedication to family, and then the last point are that we all have two choices in life. Each one of us in this room tonight, whether you're a member of the church, whether you're somebody that is not really familiar with the ways of God, whether you're spiritually minded through the Word of God, or whether you're kind of wondering about what's going on religiously in the world, every one of us has to make two choices, one of two choices. And so we'll address those at the very end of the lesson. Well, let's begin with the dedication to God. Our service to God consists of two very basic elements. First of all, to be totally dedicated to God requires obedient faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, what is the Hebrew writer, without faith it's impossible to please God. We need to have faith. We know that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, Romans chapter 10 and 17. And so in order to please God, we first have to have faith. And then we come and we believe the things that we read, and we diligently seek God, and He rewards us. That's one of the basics in order to understand and to grow. Secondly, as I mentioned, Romans 10:17, there's only one true avenue to gain faith. We have to study God's Word. We have to glean from it. We have to absorb it. As Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Matthew 4 and 4. We need to eat the Word of God spiritually, take it in and allow it to do its work in us. And then as we do, we realize that Jesus is the author of salvation to all who obey that Word. So think about Ruth as we go through the lesson, and think about how she obeyed the Word of God, how she learned the Word of God. That becomes apparent. It's necessarily inferred in the text. And then secondly, we must worship Him as he directs us in his word. John 4:24, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And I don't want to take, you know, listen, Brother Don, he told me the other night I only have 35 minutes. Now I'm sweating. Because my wife tells me I chase a lot of rabbits. But you think about this idea here of God is spirit. Those who worship must worship in spirit and truth. I want to tell you that truth is critical. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and in verse 10, we're told that we can't be saved unless we love the truth. The devil's out there and he wants to destroy you. And he does that simply by allowing you to hear lies and come to believe those lies. But we need to live by that truth. When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and in John 14 and 6, he also said in John 17 that he asked God, sanctify them. That means set them apart by your truth. And what did he say the truth was? He said, thy word is truth. And so we learn so much from this textbook and from the accounts that are written and recorded in here, and especially tonight with Ruth. In order to accomplish these things, we need to be servants of God. We need to obey the things that we learn, and we need to take every one of his commandments, and we need to search the scriptures, and we need to apply those truths to ourselves. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, the Apostle Paul tells us how to do that. He says, don't be conformed to this world. Don't find yourself spending so much time in the things of this world, whether they're the games or whether they're hobbies or whether they're work or whether they're family. It doesn't matter. Everything in this world one day will perish. But he says, don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that's exactly what has taken place here. And those are the basics. Those are the things that we really need to focus upon. I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Ruth, and we're going to read probably one of the most well-known texts from this book. It's Ruth chapter 1 and verse 16 and 17. Ruth chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Now, this happens after Naomi has, and we'll get to this again at the very end of the lesson, but Naomi, she has tried to convince Orpah and Ruth to leave and go home. Go back to your mothers and go back to your gods and go back to your maybe to get new husbands there in Moab. And Orpah, of course, as we learn, she decided to go back. But Ruth made a decision. And this is what her decision is. Ruth says to Naomi, entreat me not to leave you or turn back from following after you, for wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. And your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. Isn't that amazing? I've heard that read at weddings. But I'll tell you what, this is a text for life. This is something that we should make a daily study of it and just meditate on that whole concept there. The joy and the love that Ruth had for Naomi and for Naomi's God. The theme of dedication to God just jumps off the page there. When that we read those pages of Holy Writ, those words that are written down by the Holy Spirit, as we hear Ruth say, your God will be my God. And so that's where we want to go first of all. What does that imply, your God will be my God? Well, what it really implies is that we have to have a complete turnaround. And think about this. Ruth made a decision to follow after God and not after her heart. She wanted to follow God, the Lord God, in all things. In Proverbs chapter 14 and in verse 12, we read the there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. And she just came out of Moab. That's where her original roots would be. But there's a way that seems right, but the way leads to death. She must have known that. And when we think of Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. And as I read about Ruth, I realize that she's made this grand decision to follow after Naomi into a land that she knew nothing about. And she's going to do that, and she's going to be blessed by that. As you look at Psalm chapter 37 and verse 22, what the psalmist says there, the steps of a good man are those who are blessed by God. Those people who are blessed by Him shall inherit. And that's what we're looking at here, inherit the earth. But those who are cursed, He shall cut off. Naomi, or Ruth rather, she chose the blessing. She chose to follow that good path, to dedicate herself to Jehovah God. One of my favorite texts in the Bible is Psalm 37, verse 23 and 24. In Psalm 37, 23, he says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. And though he falls, he will not be utterly cast down, for is upheld by the hands of God." Naomi's putting all her trust in those kinds of thoughts. She's putting all her trust. She's not considering anything that's ahead of her. She's letting go of everything behind her, and she's dedicating herself to God, the God who wrote those things. And I think that's just a wonderful direction for any one of us to travel. She didn't consider her pledge as a lighthearted thing. I think it was a very serious decision she made. And she didn't think, "I'll follow this God as long as it serves me." She understood she would be the one serving God. Her words imply that she turned everything completely around. As we look at this in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5, "You shall love the Lord your God with" what? "All your heart." I think she needed to do that. I think she needed to love the Lord God with all her heart. She needed to love Him with all her soul and with all her strength. To make that kind of a decision, to walk away from everything that you know. In Deuteronomy 10 and 12 and 13, he says, "And now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God and to walk in all His ways, and to love Him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes, which I command you this day." And I hope you're getting the theme here, that the idea is to be dedicated to God. It takes everything that we have. God's a jealous God. He's not a God that would allow you to have two gods, three gods, four gods. He wants you to be devoted wholly to Him. Deuteronomy 5:16, and this verse will be important in a moment. "Honor your father and mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Listen to your father who begat you and do not despise your mother when she is old." Ruth made a decision to follow after her mother-in-law, Naomi, to give herself completely over. And as we study, her dedication to God also benefited Naomi. So Ruth showed by her works that she was dedicated to God. Look at Ruth chapter 2 in verses 11 and 12 with me. In verse chapter 2, 11 and 12, it says, "Then Boaz answered and said to her," look what it says, "It has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother and the land of your birth and have come to people whom you did not know before, The Lord repay your work and a full reward be given to you and the Lord God of Israel under whose wings you have come for refuge. Ruth has given it all up to dedicate her life to God. And in everyday examples in our own lives, how many of us are following that kind of a path? How many of us are loving the Lord with all of our heart and our mind and our soul and our strength? How many of us are serving the Lord in fear? And how many of us are following the commandments of the Lord? Those are the steps that Ruth is showing us. If you're young, nothing's changed. If you're old, nothing's changed. It all comes down to the love that you have for God. It all comes down to walk in His ways. And that's what she's done. And that's the example that we're seeing. And the idea that she's not leaving Naomi just because of the tragedy and the trouble. If you remember in the beginning of the text, there was a man, Elimelech, and he left Bethlehem, Judah, to go to Moab because there was a famine there. And as I read these things and I realize he left his home, he left his land, he had to sell all those things to do that. And he took his family to a strange place. And then he died and left Naomi with her two sons. And then her two sons, they were married to Orpah and to Mahlon, and then they died. But there was approximately a 10-year period there. But such a tragedy would befall Naomi and her daughters-in-law. And yet, as we go on in this account of history, we realize that her dedication to God lifted her right on up through all that. As Boaz said, the Lord repay your work, full reward be given you. She was a woman that people would talk about. They said good things about her. Boaz understood her dedication there as you read what he said. In Psalm chapter 36 and in verse 7 is what Boaz is reciting. When he says that how precious is your loving kindness, O God, therefore the children of men who put their trust under you are under the shadow of your wings. So when we trust God, just you get this picture. As I'm dedicating my life to God, God is just enveloping me with these powerful and loving arms. And that's the image that he's giving Ruth. That's the idea that Ruth has in her head, that she's going to trust and dedicate her life to God. I don't think there's anybody here that could do any better than that. We all need to trust God and to allow Him to put His grace and His arms around us. You know, and as we look at this in chapter 2 and verse 11, He knew how she acted among His people. When she came into the land, she didn't come into the land like somebody that had been raised in Moab. She was more than willing to commit herself to the ways of the people of the land of Naomi, to the ways of the Jews, to the law of God, and to live under those precepts. Too many people come into the church today and they want to be saved, but they want to live their life as they always have. They want to go ahead and hang on to the alcohol and those kinds of things and the drugs or the fornication or the adultery, and they want to be able to get married and not married, get married and not married, and be able to still have great standing in the church. But we can't do that. We need to be a people like Ruth, who changed her ways, dedicated herself to God. What will be reported to you? Think about your own life today. As you're sitting here right now and you think about your life, what will be reported of you? Will people say that he's a slave to sin? He was. He was just, if I understand sin, that person was just one of the biggest sinners you ever met. Is that what people will say? Or will they say, but he obeyed God. He obeyed that form of doctrine from the heart, and he changed his ways. Is that what they'll say about us? They'll say that he was, but now he's changed. That's what Paul said in Romans chapter 6 and in verse 17. That's what happens when we obey Christ, when we're baptized into Christ, and then we raised a newness of life and we continue to walk in that right path. And then we become a people who have changed. And that change should be something noted. What will people report of you? When you think of that, oh, I told him not to talk to me about Jesus. I tell him, don't talk to me about Jesus. And you know what he did? He said, I ought to obey God rather than man. Just like Peter and John there in Acts chapter 5 and verse 29. I told him, shut up. I don't want to hear about Jesus. I ought to obey God rather than man. Ruth brings that out, I believe, when she did everything Naomi told her to do, when she went with Boaz and laid with him and then did whatever he told her to do. And ultimately, by God's providence, she ended up marrying Boaz and having a child named Obed, who had a child named Jesse, who had a child named David. There's providence. They kept the lineage just like God promised. And what are people going to say about you? Are they going to say, you know, I'll tell you what, I don't think that person has any problem at all with fornication. I don't think that person has any problem at all with people living in adultery. I don't think that Christian has any problem at all with living in a homosexual lifestyle. They don't have a problem with stealing or lying or drinking. Is that what people say about you in the world? Or are you getting a good report like Ruth got? And are you hearing from people that, well, they used to have no problem with fornication. They used to have no problem with adultery. There was a time when they had no problem with homosexuality. There was a time when they had no problem with stealing or drinking. But now, they've been washed. Now they've been sanctified. Now they've been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. Is that how our life should be? Yes. You know, if I asked you, anybody here now to raise their hand, do you think that if somebody raped your daughter, somebody stole your car, somebody smashed into your house and took all your goods, should that person be punished? I see a lot of heads going like this. There's a preacher named Mo Hafley, and he just stands there and says, go like this. Well, of course you would. And then I ask you another question. Have you ever sinned? Have you ever stolen anything? Have you ever done anything that would be considered wrong? I don't see any heads. Go like this. Well, you know what? That means that you believe in judgment. You believe that one day there will be a time when we're all judged. There's nothing wrong with judgment, is there? Think about that as you think in light of how people report things about you and your life. There was a time here when Peter, he writes, and I think I'm using buttons backwards here. Let me see if I can find it here. Where am I at? Come on. Well, let's see. Dedication to God. Hebrews. I already did that. Ruth learned obedience. Let me tell you something. Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. If you look in your Bibles, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, you ourselves are also with the same mind that he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. That's the slide that I'm looking for. And that we no longer live like the rest of the world. We don't live by the lusts of men, but by the will of God. For we spent enough time in our past living a lifetime doing the will of the Gentiles, living a lifetime in sin. And we walked in lewdness and lust and drunkenness and revelries and drinking and parties and abominations and idolatries. In regard to these, though, look at what Peter says there in verse 4. In regard to these, they think it's strange that we don't run with them in the same flood of dissipation, the same wastefulness, and they speak evil of you. Is that something that people will say about you? Is your life changing? Are you walking according to the commandments of God? I want you to be thinking about that as we think about this dedication to God. Now, I don't know where I'm at in my slides, but this button's different from mine. Let me see if I can find where we're at. Okay. Well, let me just go on, and we won't worry too much about the slides. Dedication is where we're at, is dedication to God and family. So here's something I want you to think about. We have to have our whole hearts in every part of our service to God. And there's ways that God wants us to do that. In other words, He wants us to study to show ourselves approved. Be diligent to present yourself approved unto God, who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, the word of God. And that's one way for us to grow and advance and get to a place where we can get out of the ways of the world. Another thing is in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Learning, absorbing, like I said in the beginning, eating every word of God like it's bread, like it's good bread. And then he goes on and he says, but sanctify yourselves in the Lord. Sanctify the Lord in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Sanctify yourself means to set yourself apart. And we're setting ourselves apart, putting God in our hearts. Do you think that it would be possible to leave everything that you've known, everything that you love, everything you're familiar with, if you don't do these basic things? If you don't learn, if you don't set God apart in your hearts, if you're not growing in the grace and the knowledge? I think it would be really hard. And that's one reason that it's important to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts, because we need to be ready to help other people to come to that knowledge of Christ so that they too will be able to be free from sin. And so when we think of this dedication to God, there's some things I want you to remember. First of all, let's remember that and understand that Ruth did all of these kinds of things in spite of Naomi's discouraging word. At the very end of the lesson, we're going to talk about that as we get to the invitation. But Naomi said some pretty discouraging things. If you go back and look at the book and you read what she said there, her daughters-in-law must have wondered what was going on. Because here we are following Naomi, we're on our way, and she turns around and tells us to turn around and go back home. And so we need to remember that even when you hear discouraging words, when somebody does something that hurts you, you don't stop and turn around and go away. You just keep following the path of God. And in spite of the influences of this world, her friends, even her mother-in-law, caused her to, one of them to stumble. Orpah turned around and went back. And you can be like Ruth. You can obey God. Your life can be filled with the blessings that only He can provide. It's your choice. It's what you need to do. So let's change over to dedication of family. I want you to change your thoughts here. And instead of being dedicated to God, we're talking now about how important it is for us to be dedicated to family. In Ruth chapter 1 and verses 16 and 17. We've read those words, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For listen, wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people. She's wanting to be a part of that family. In verse 17, where you die, I will die. and there I will be buried. It can't get stronger than that. I want to be part of your family. I see the way you live, and there's something about you. I want to follow in those kinds of footsteps. And so we're talking now about family. To provide for Naomi. Look at chapter 2, verse 2. This is Naomi who loves Ruth. And she said, I want to provide for you. Please let me go to the field, Ruth says, and glean heads of grain after him whose sight I may find favor. Did she care about Naomi when she's doing this? Is that something that she's picking up? Is that something that we want to do for our parents? And then as you think about her working in that field, we'll realize that, that's a long, hard work. It's been fully reported, remember? To me, all that you have done for your mother-in-law, Boaz said. When we talk about dedicated to family, that means that we are such a part of that family that we're willing to work hard, we're willing to put up with mistakes that our family members make, we're willing to put up with maybe the Mara side of our parents or even our children. And we're willing to overcome all the obstacles in life. And so that it will be said of us, of all the good things you did for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband. After the death of her husband, she could have gone back. She could have remarried somebody else. But she loved Naomi. And she was willing to do whatever it took to be with her and to help her. What she had kept back. In verse 14 and 18, when Boaz gave her food and she ate that grain and she got full and she kept some back, what did she do with that? She didn't go home and store it away. She went home and gave it to her mother-in-law. Love of family. Think these things through and realize that Ruth obeyed Naomi. In chapter 2 and verse 22 and 23. Let's read verse 22 and 23. And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with this young woman, and that people do not meet you in any other field." So she stayed close by the young woman of Boaz, gleaned until the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest, and she dwelt with her mother-in-law. In other words, she obeyed Naomi. She was a kind of an individual with the right kind of spirit to obey her mother. We read earlier how important it was not to despise your mother in her old age. Naomi was old. She couldn't work, and so Ruth did the work. Ruth provided for the family until Boaz came into the picture. I want to talk real quick here then about parents. There are parents in the room. Remember what Ruth or Naomi said, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you that it may be well with you?" Ruth chapter 3, verse 1. As parents, we have responsibility to our children. We have responsibilities to raise our children up. If you look in your Bibles in the book of Psalm chapter 127, Psalm chapter 127, here's something you notice there. God is giving us parents a directive, and I think it's a wonderful thing. We're going to read Psalm 127. It's a very short psalm, but we're going to read from verse 3. 4 and 5. Listen to what the psalmist says here. "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of thy womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has a quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate." Imagine every child that you have is like an arrow. And every parent has the responsibility to aim that arrow in the right direction. In other words, we have a responsibility to teach our children and raise them up in the way that they should go. As we look at this, every child is a heritage from the Lord. precious in the sight of the Lord. We have to bring them up. We have to teach them, and we have to help them to remember the right ways to live and how to find God throughout their lifetimes. When we think of this, they're like the arrows. If you've ever shot an arrow, you know that the goal is to hit the target. So you have children today. What is the target? I have known people whose target is sports. And so they go out and they get the best coaches. They buy the best equipment. They do everything they can. They spend all their free time trying to get that child to be the best they are at whatever sport it is. And that's their goal. Maybe to be a Major League Baseball player. For some parents, maybe the goal, their directive for their children is they want them to be a doctor. And they want them to go to the best schools and have the best education. And they want them to have the best chance to graduate and get good grades. But let me ask you a question. What's really important as you have this responsibility to aim your children? Listen to what Jesus said. But whosoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the depths of the sea. Bible tells us in the book of Genesis that we need to be teachers and examples. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9, what do? We teach them along the way as they get up, as they lay down. And we do everything we can to get them to know God in the right ways, the right path. Train up a child in the way that he is going. We know all these things in our head. We know the scriptures. Train up a child. But we need to understand what it means to aim them to the Lord. We need to really take heart, because that's what Naomi did. We want them to have eternal life in Christ. We want to have spiritual blessings in Christ. We want them to be in Him and have redemption through His blood. And we want them to be made alive in the Lord in Him. Long after we're gone, we want our children to have that right path. And so what is it? You want your child to be a doctor? So you one day you want your child to have PhD or MD or whatever numbers, names, letters after their name, right? But what good is PhD if they don't have G-O-D? Think about that. They can have the best education. They have the best baseball equipment. And they may even get a job on a major league. Maybe they'll play with the Cleveland Indians. I don't know. But what good is all that if they don't have G-O-D? Because from my perspective, it's no good at all. I want you to think about these things, if you will. And we'll, obviously, I hear that bell out there and you know why my slides messed up? Because I'm used to taking my notes and moving them to the left. And my notes up here are moving to the right. And so I moved it to the right, and then I moved it to the left. Thank you.